Texas Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, my lovers. Welcome to Dates and Mates, where we talk about love in the modern world. I am so excited for today's show. First of all, I'm sitting here next to my super talented, super smart co-host, Mr. Ray Christian, the CEO of the Texpert app. Hello.
What's shaking, little lady?
Not a lot, because I've been working out with a new trainer. Gonna get it tight and right. After the after last week's show, we were talking about being fit. I kind of got inspired. Hopefully you guys got inspired too.
Did you hit your target fitness? Not your target weight?
I don't know. It's not. I haven't weighed in yet, so I don't know what my target fitness is. But I got into this dress, and I'm feeling good about it.
You look good.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you. And so does my guest for today. His name is Trip Cramer, and he is the face, the voice, the man behind the magic of TripAdvice.com, and he's here to talk with us today about how to be a modern alpha male. You're always talking about this alpha male business. This is alpha male business.
I like high T men and women, for that matter.
I was going to say, you're sitting high next tea. To a high T woman, but
all day.
I'm really excited about this topic. And I think it's something that a lot of people are dealing with in the changing dating landscape today. With all the tools and technology we have, I really believe that modern day courtship and chivalry has changed. And I'm so excited that Trip Cramer is going to be with us in a little bit to share his insights on that topic. Producer Thomas is here with us as well. He, too, is looking fly with a new haircut.
Thank you very much.
Looking
all
fresh.
The way around.
All
you got
the way around.
The beard.
Even
the head.
Steven.
Perfectly coordinated.
Perfectly coordinated. Are you coordinated enough to bring us the dish?
I believe I am.
D's dating dish.
Shape.com had an article that caught my eye today. It was about, can you really be friends with your ex or not? I'm just going to kick it off to you first, just to start off, because we've talked about this a little bit before, but what did you think about this article, and do you think, is it a myth that you can be friends with an ex? Because I've done it before, but I know that's not your favorite jam.
This has shades of a future he said, she said, perhaps, because I think we're going to butt heads on this one. I think it kind of gets down to the definition of what is a friend. A friend isn't some like acquaintance that has a natural expiration date. And I think if you have an opposite sex friend, when you meet the one, the person you're going to marry at a future date, that person's probably going to want you to give that ex the niche, no longer be friendly. You can be friendly, you can't be friends. You can't be talking every week, getting drinks, just the two of you. That's kind of what a friend does. And I don't think that's healthy.
Don't you have some friends, though, that you're only friends with in certain settings? Like, well, what do you think about social media? There's this survey that this article was based on said that 14.5% said that they would be friends with someone that they used to be with on social media. So can you be social media friends? Does that change it?
Even that gets hairy. So one of my exes, who actually is on the opposite side of the country in Boston, after her last breakup, we were friends. We would talk occasionally. We would comment and text occasionally. And then she got in a new relationship. And I would do as I normally do, which is maybe like her Instagram photos. And then somehow that started to irk her new boyfriend. And now I'm not allowed to like her pictures, supposedly. So, like, at the end of the day, that's not really friends. It's an ex-lover, which is a different kind of dynamic, but that's not really a friend.
Okay, point taken. And I think it depends on how it affects your life and if there are other people in your life that are offended by your connection. I don't know. You're so high T. Maybe that's the whole problem. But
well, put it this way. Whether I get married or whatever it is.
Which I know you don't want to.
Well, you and I will remain friends. Thomas and I will remain friends. My ex and I probably will not remain friends because my future wife or future lover probably will have a problem with that.
Well, I think it's okay if you've had the time to heal and you're not still having emotional feelings towards that person. Mm. I mean, I think this Instagram boyfriend is maybe going a little bit overboard and probably having his own feelings of jealousy that he needs to deal with. And it's not about you. But I think it's a case-by-case basis, and you guys at home have to decide what's right for you. Speaking of folks deciding what's right for them, you know what's not so popular? Deciding to get divorced. then the guy moving into the guest house and then not actually filing for the divorce and then deciding 2 years later not to get divorced. And that's exactly what Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner have decided to do. So they officially have pulled the plug on their divorce, which was never actually really finalized. I don't even know if they actually filed. But
what, they got separated?
They were separated, but they weren't even really separated. He was just living in the back house. I mean, he messed up. He royally messed up. You know, he was sleeping with the nanny.
He diddled the maid?
He diddled the maid. I mean, this is, the he nanny? Admits to it. I mean, I guess maybe in light of all the stuff going on with his brother, maybe it's like, well, not so bad. Sleeping with the maid, not so bad.
Wait, what did Casey do?
Oh, you haven't heard about this?
You know, I'm not up on the pop culture stuff.
Yeah, well, Google it. But basically, there are a lot of accusations of sexual assault against him. But that's another.
Yikes.
That's a whole other dates and mates.
Casey does kind of have a serial killer, sexual assaultish type look to him.
See,
he looks a little.
You're cramped. Profiling right now.
I think I can get away with it.
Okay, well, let's get back to Ben and Jen, Bennifer, Bennifer the second. There was Bennifer the first. Remember when he was with J-Lo? That was a thing.
That's right.
You forgot about that. So, but you know, I've always said that celebrity sort of paves the way for trends in society and things that were not okay. Like, you know, even 20 years ago, if you had a baby out of wedlock, you were sort of a pariah and people looked down on you. And then celebrities started doing it. And that was okay. Now it's okay. So I wonder if this is going to normalize repairing relationships, and this could be a really good thing for other people that see Jennifer practiced forgiveness and was able to get over it, and they worked on their relationship, and now they're going to give it another try because they were so cute when they were together. They were so cute, and now they can be cute again.
They're like the prom king and the prom queen. You know what I liked about this article, this concept of people getting divorced from low conflict issues, low conflict marriages. Like, they're basically pulling the plug a little bit too quickly, whereas sometimes there are, in fact, irreconcilable issues, in which case, yes, you probably should pull the ripcord. But it's almost like at both sides of this, we should be a little bit more measured, a little bit more judicious, where take a little bit longer before you tie the knot, and maybe take a little bit longer before you pull the ripcord in both scenarios. So maybe we'll end up with a little bit less divorces.
Exactly. I also liked how they said they found that when couples had young kids and decided to get divorced, if they actually, the ones that decided to stay together and waited a little while, were much more likely to like have successful relationships down the road.
Right.
And I always say to people that have kids, like my kids' age and younger, my youngest is almost 3. And I'm like, don't make any decisions right now because you're not thinking clearly. And, you know, a lot of times I think we have the stresses of life and we kind of put them upon our partner. And maybe that was even what was happening with Ben and why he strayed. You know, it's the stresses of life that he felt like he couldn't share with Jen.
I read an article once that said, somewhat tongue in cheek, that after every kid, the wife gets about 17% crazier. Do you feel 17% crazier after every kid, Damona?
So I'm what, 34% crazy now? Oh yeah, completely. I mean, you work with me all the time, so you know.
But I never saw you at max crazy, or
you never saw
least
me at
crazy.
Normalcy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. This is where we are now. But my husband accepts it. You know, and as we're talking about acceptance, I have another uplifting story to share. See, this is all positive news today. There's a new dating app for people with disabilities to find love. I think this is just such a great story. It's an app called Glimmer, and it was a response to people who had challenges, different disabilities, everything from autism to Down syndrome, who found that dating apps, traditional dating apps, were just not designed for them. And it's almost like they had to disclose at a certain point, like, by the way, I'm on the spectrum. And it was like, when do you say that?
Right.
So if you get it out of the way up front, then people know what they're dealing with. I don't know how successful the app will be all in all, because I think, you know, a lot of times people who have a disability don't necessarily want to be limited to dating someone with the same disability. And the app is open. Glimmer is open to anybody. But I don't know. I don't see you like signing up for the Glimmer app tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, I don't know it'll have general market appeal. But I do think just the fact that it exists and that we're talking about it is a really good thing.
You know, I love to get on my pulpit and kind of hate on apps that are just like copycats and they're more of a feature of some other app than they are their own app or product or feature. And this one actually kind of grabs me. This is, I think, the more niche, the better. And I think this is something that targets a very specific niche of underserved individuals that might want to have their own proper community. And I think this is a fantastic idea. Every time I see a new dating app, I'm like, ah, geez, another one, the 5,000th dating app. But this one, I think, could have legs.
Yeah, well, apparently there are 38 million people in the U.S. that are disabled between 18 and 35 in the prime dating age. So there's a lot of people out there that could be using this app. And I found, I got a real education. I did a little guest spot on Pit Boss. I don't know if you remember the show from Animal Planet. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, and I was working with a little person. That's the proper term. And he liked dating average-sized women. That's the term that they use for people like you.
Normies?
Normies, yeah, average size. And it was just a real education for me, even coming from a diversity role in entertainment before, to understand what his unique needs and situation was. And, you know, we make the assumption, oh, he must just date other little people. And, nah, he did pretty well with the average-sized chicks. So you never know. Maybe he could find love on Glimmer, too. Well, I hope all of you are ready to find love because I have an expert in the house with me. Trip Kramer of TripAdvice.com is going to talk to us right after this break about how to be a modern alpha male. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, here with my co-host, Ray Christian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. At 800-610-9070.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I am so excited to bring my in-studio guest to you today. You know, Ray, we're always talking about the alpha male and how attractive or unattractive that may be. So I'm just going to first introduce my guest to you, and then we're going to talk about our differing opinions on the alpha male and how you can become an alpha male in modern society if you want to be. My guest for today is a dating coach who specializes in helping men naturally attract the women that they desire. He is a YouTube celebrity and he's also a podcast host. He has a show called How to Talk to Girls that is blowing up the iTunes charts. You can find him online at tripadvice.com, but you can find him right now in studio with me today. Please give big smooches to Trip Kramer.
What's up, Trip?
Oh, how lovely. Hello, everyone. Hi. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome.
Damona,
may I say your highlights look beautiful.
Thank you. You're such
man.
A modern how to talk to girls. Alpha male.
There you go.
Stealing my lines. Damn it.
Well, save the lines because a lot of the folks at home are going to need to know them so they can be successful in dating today. But just before we launch into the advice, I just want to get a little definition, a little check-in from you guys on what you think alpha male really means. Ray, you love being high, a high-T dude. You love high-T dudes and high-T women.
Is this testosterone when you're saying T?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now
that's
his
thing.
Okay.
You'll get it. Give it a little warm-up, but you'll get into it. Ray has all of these phrases and ways of looking at the world that are very intriguing.
You know, I like Trip. It's funny when it's a game recognized game. When you meet a person that can look you in the eye, can shake your hand like a man. I can already tell I like this guy.
There we go. Modern alpha male right here.
Yeah, there you go.
I can look you in the eye and shake your hand. What's so great about being an alpha male? Tell me. Educate me.
What's so great about it? I mean, the benefits are untold. We have like 80 girls at our beck and call, just like the modern hippo or lion. No, I think it's...
Is that what it means, though? Do you think that it means having options and being like the leader of the pack so that you can choose among the hippos and lions out there?
If you're asking for my quick definition, I would say at the very core, it's you're a leader of men. And a little bit more elaborate would be it's a man that has confidence in his abilities and yet a self-awareness to not be cocky about those abilities. But yeah. I'm curious to get your take on it.
No, I like that. I feel like the definition has changed over the years. What an alpha male was 20 years ago, 30 years ago is very different from today. I say an alpha male is all-encompassing in one word, which is courage. So if you're an alpha male, you have courage. So what does that mean? Well, that spans across the board. You have the courage to go after what you want. So that could be with women. That could be go up and approaching, starting a conversation, having the type of relationships that you want. It could also be you have the courage to be vulnerable, to be real. I think these days a real alpha male is someone who is in touch with their feelings and emotions, which was a little no-no, I think, maybe back in like the 1950s or 60s. Mm-hmm. You got to be this hard guy and you don't show your emotions. But these days, I think it's more normal and it takes a lot of courage to be able to say what you want, say how you feel, and just be like a normal human being and not have to hide some of that stuff. And mainly it's the courage, like I was saying earlier, to go after what you want in all areas of your life. So I think an alpha male is something bigger than what it means maybe in the dating scene. But I also think that if you are the alpha male who is courageous, who is confident, like you were saying, then women will flock to that. You will be naturally the leader of men.
I'm really glad that you said that. And I'm especially the part about courage and vulnerability, even.
Yes, yes.
Because I have this image, when you say alpha male, I think of like the dudes in the gym.
Jersey Shore types.
Yeah. Although I do like Pauly D. He's pretty funny.
He's cool.
I like his humor, which is also a demonstration of risk for anyone.
Absolutely.
I think you're right that it has evolved in modern dating to also encompass this vulnerability. And you know, I talk a lot about how women really crave an equality partnership now. I think women and men, like they don't want the man to just have certain roles and the woman to just have certain roles. There's a lot more ebb and flow, which is, I think, great being in what I consider a modern marriage. I think it's great. But at the same time, it is really confusing for people because nobody knows where they're supposed to be standing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because there's a lot of ideas behind what the masculine is and what the feminine is. And we're obviously, I'm all for equality, women in the workplace, all those great things. But I think there's a problem because we're becoming so, I put in air quotes, equal, that I think it could be making men less masculine and making women less feminine. So I feel like we have to take some of those more traditional roles, maybe in the household, not with like chores and things like that, but with how a man is treating a woman and a woman is treating a man. You know, I think there's a lot of alpha females who have a lot of trouble dating these days because they're taking some of their, alpha qualities and boss qualities, and they're taking it at home. And that's causing the man to feel a little bit emasculated, and it's screwing up those roles. So I feel like a woman needs to step more in her feminine when it comes to attraction, and a man needs to step more into the masculine when it comes to trying to attract a woman. I just think that it's getting very confusing. There's a lot of blurred lines these days because of how we're treating this idea of equality. I just think it's getting very confusing.
I agree with you that it's getting, I don't want to say confusing so much as redefined. Because I think we're actually in a period of flux where what we thought about traditional gender roles are just not, they're like my kids are going to laugh at, like, the same way that we look at the 1950s dating norms and we're like, that's ridiculous. Like, he had to put his pin on her and she's wearing his letter jacket and then he has to ask her parents out if he can ask her out, and that's just ridiculous. So I think people will laugh at us at how unmodern we are, even though we think we are now. But I do want to talk about online dating and dating apps and how that has impacted your work at TripAdvice.com, because you've been giving guys advice for like almost a decade, right?
I think it almost since 2009 when I had my first podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not great at math, but that's a long time. And, you know, women aren't supposed to say we're not good at math, but I'm not good at math. But do you think that the ability to reach out to a wider pool of women has affected how men are courting, are pursuing women in today's world?
It's tough. I go back and forth, I think, every week on how I feel about dating apps. Right now, I'm in the I hate dating apps phase. That's where I'm at. It is really cool that we can use these things to meet so many different people. That is really amazing. We can just like go to the bathroom and you can meet your next wife. How amazing is that? Just sitting there swiping away. But I also think...
So romantic.
So romantic, right? We all know we're doing it. So the problem, though, is that... this is not just apps. This is all of social media. It's causing us to not connect person to person. This is a problem. We are so used to texting. We're so used to getting on the apps. We're so used to starting conversations now through text messages. You can sit there and think of the perfect thing to say, and you don't really get to experience someone on a human level. It's just through this ones and zeros on your phone and on your computer. So in some ways, when the apps first came out, I was like, great, my business is done, because I didn't really teach apps. I taught how to go up and start a conversation with a woman in person. I was like, everyone's going to go on the apps. It's so much easier. You don't need much courage or confidence to send a little text message, right? So I thought that that was a big problem. Until then, I started using the dating apps, and I found that it's actually not as easy as people make it out to be. Yes, there's so many options, and as a numbers game, you have the possibility of meeting someone, but at the same time, you don't necessarily guarantee meeting someone you really like. I think that everyone's getting bombarded by so many messages that it really takes a lot of numbers to be able to finally meet with someone. And then once you do, the attraction is so superficial. It's like we're meeting on a first date and all I know about you are some things that you like and your interests and a really crappy picture of who you are. Which is why, and here's a little tip, I like, if I'm ever doing app dating, I always get on the phone with the girl before I meet her, because I want to spark some sort of human connection before I sit down and be like, oh, hi, we're talking to each other first time. I call it a deaf date. We don't want deaf dates. I want to make sure she can hear me and I can hear her, make sure she's not too crazy before we sit down and talk to each other.
Well, we're 3 for 3 on that. We are all fans of the phone call before the date. And I think that the speed of communication with texting, a lot of people dropped that in the last 5 years. And, you know, I've been coaching people on online dating for like over 10 years. And that's something that I've seen in the last 5 years. But I think if we can bring it back, I agree with you that we'll have to connect more. But, you know, you know where I'm going with the dating apps. So
so you're very political when it comes to opining on the dating apps. I'm curious. Gun to your head, Trip. You had to say yay or nay, because I'm actually for the day game and going up and saying hello like a man. If you had to pick yay or nay on dating apps.
Nay. That's my
This week. That's his answer this week. That's what he said.
I'll take it.
That is my gut reaction to that.
Okay. Rebuttal. Just rebuttal for a moment, because I agree with what you say about dating apps being more challenging than people realize. I think it's a new dating medium. And unfortunately, people are not approaching it with the same amount of finesse and nuance and mindfulness that they do their day game. Like, you didn't just know how to approach women. Like, you practiced it. You figured out. I know you had the same journey as well. Like, there was a process you went through to become proficient at approaching women out in the real world. And I think not enough people are actually doing that process with dating apps. And so they're just rejecting and throwing the whole thing away.
Rejecting what?
Rejecting the idea of dating apps and saying dating apps just don't work. Well, you're not working for them. You're not thinking about how you're presenting yourself through your pictures. You're not thinking about how you're pursuing through your messages and how you're standing out. So, you know, I think everybody can be successful on dating apps, but they have to be as present with their process as they are when they go out into the real world.
I can agree to that.
I want to hear more about your process and how you get guys to be more confident and comfortable with approaching women. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, will you give us some tips?
Absolutely.
Help the men at home to be a modern alpha male. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, here with my co-host, Ray Christian, and in studio with my guest, Trip of TripAdvice.com. Don't go anywhere. We have more dating advice right after this.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more. With 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code GIFT18. That's GIFT18 at adamandeve.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I am so excited to be in studio with one of my favorite return guests, Trip of TripAdvice.com. We're talking about how to be a modern alpha male. And we left off on the conversation of practicing your game, you know, getting confident in being able to meet women wherever you go. So I know this is what you do every day. You have a YouTube channel that shares how you can how guys can do this, and you also have the How to Talk to Girls podcast. But can you give the guys at home the starter advice on ways that they can get out in the world? Like, let's put the dating apps aside. How can they get out in the world and be more successful than they are right now?
Here's the deal. When it comes to approaching women during the day, at a club, wherever, it is difficult, and I understand how difficult it can be because there's a lot of nerves, there's a lot of what do you say, where are you supposed to take the conversation, all those things. But at the end of the day, I tell guys that you don't have to be going up to a girl with some crazy pickup line or something mind-blowingly interesting. You just have to go up and start a conversation. Most of the time, women are not getting approached by a normal dude with normal conversation. So going up and saying hi and introducing yourself is actually not a bad idea.
Wait. What do you think girls are getting? I'm just curious.
I think, well, if I've heard a lot of stories in New York, because there's a lot of people walking around in New York, is that they get catcalled all the time.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. They're getting all these like dirty profanities, you know, screamed at them as they walk around the city. Or guys will come up and maybe be a little bit over smooth and say something that can just really make a girl feel uncomfortable right off the bat. So I say, let's take a step back. You don't have to be Mr. Macho and just go up and say hello. And guys are going to find how surprisingly, well, it's going to be tough to do that, but they're going to be surprised by the reaction of the woman. It's like, it's not that bad. Most women will actually have a conversation with you. So I think that's like my first tip is do anything you can to just get into conversation and start it in just a nice, polite way.
So I love what you're doing, and especially with like 10 years ago with like the pickup artist community got such a bad connotation.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because maybe there was some bad things with that, but just like anything in life, whether it's business or a sport, like why not do a little research and a little bit of homework to better yourself? And it's nice the way you're approaching it to sharpen your skills in talking to women. That's a good thing. Do you find there's still kind of a negative connotation of like, oh, you're the pickup artist guy. You're one of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because pickup has a negative connotation, you know, to pick up a girl. Like it just, there's that kind of eerie, creepy vibe about it. But reality is that when this whole idea of let's try to learn how to meet women started, it started as pickup. And that kind of just extended into today. I started my YouTube channel to try to brand myself differently and kind of show guys, hey, we don't have to use the word pickup. We can just be like normal guys starting conversations. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you go and look up pickup advice, a lot of it is similar to what I'm saying. It's just a lot about being confident and being a normal dude and just, you know, having that courage we were talking about earlier to go after what you want. The problem is there's also a lot of bad information out there. So you can get into a hole on the internet and find information that is manipulative or is teaching you how to lie and share stories to show that you are some alpha male or cool guy, and you're just kind of copy and pasting these things on you who you aren't. That's not who you are, right? So in that sense, that is manipulative. So I'm hoping that guys can find the, you know, TripAdvice channel and be like, hey, let's just be you. Let's just be, you know, who you are, a good person, and still be able to attract women. So you got to be careful of what's out there.
But I was going to say, I think a lot of guys think that just being themselves isn't enough. And as we're talking about being a modern alpha male, they're probably thinking, how do I separate myself from the pack? Because I'm just a guy. I'm just a dude. I'm not like that guy at the gym, and I'm not like the pickup artist guy. What do you say to those men that really just feel like they don't stand out enough if they just go and talk to a woman?
I think a lot of guys, they hold who they really are inside. So we hear that advice all the time. Oh, just be yourself, right? It's actually, I used to think that was the worst advice. It is the best advice. The problem, though, with that advice is you can't just be yourself. You can't just be this guy who, you know, has been shy all of his life and has learned the wrong things from the media about how attraction works and da-da-da, and just be yourself. If I tell a guy to be himself, he won't be able to do it until he's able to access that part of him. And that's what I try to teach guys, how to be comfortable in front of a woman. Like, okay, a guy with his friends is just being himself. He has no need to impress. He's just being who he is. Maybe he's a goofy, funny guy. Maybe he likes video games, likes to talk about engineering and blah, blah, blah. Little cliche, but, you know, that's him being himself. If I say, now do that with a woman, he'd be like, how do I do that? What do I, you know? So I try to teach guys to go up, start conversations with many women, start to feel comfortable around the opposite sex, and then you can start to access the place that where you're like, well, this is not so big of a deal anymore. I can just be me, and it's totally cool. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like you can change parts of you, like the part of you that isn't approaching women, but still be yourself. I love this concept from the earlier part of the show where you mentioned courage to be vulnerable. And the light bulb kind of went off for me in my late 20s when I realized, especially as you start building a relationship with a woman, just be yourself, show your personality, show your eccentricities, be a little bit goofy. How do you balance that with, you know, showing yourself, showing your personality, being vulnerable with not like letting the whole cat out of the bag and like let the woman or whoever it is peel back the onion a little bit? How do you balance those two things?
Well, I guess there's different forms of vulnerability, I believe, right? There's being vulnerable in the terms of you're able to share your feelings and your thoughts and things like that. But I think it gets to a point where you can maybe go overboard with that. And if you have all these emotional issues and a lot of problems and you're just spilling that on a girl, like, maybe not the best idea. You know, right. I think there's a time and a place for that, but I think showing too many of your insecurities is going to cause her to be like, this guy's got some issues. Now, again, it's tough. It's a tough balance. I'm not saying to hold that in, but if you're just being, you know, quote-unquote vulnerable all the time and everything you say to a woman is how you're feeling and thinking, I don't think anyone should be doing that with anybody. You know, it's like you got to kind of go back and look internally and maybe fix some of those issues yourself instead of trying to lay that on someone. But like you were saying, just being who you are, being relaxed, being the person you want to be, being goofy, being fun, you should be showing that side all the time.
Yeah.
I would love to offer my insights on that because I think that with technology, with online dating apps, texting, everything is happening too fast. And so if people practice what Dr. Helen Fisher calls slow love and let the connection develop over time, I think you naturally know when to reveal more about yourself. But there's just this push to like just dump everything on the first date. Like, let's have a 5-hour first date and let me just tell you everything. And just so you know about me up front, and then you'll know if you can't handle this, like move on. And I think it's not that you should hide that information. It's just maybe that information is not first date information. Maybe it needs to be earned third, fourth, fifth date.
I wonder if people are doing that because of this. I'm kind of figuring this out in my head right now, but that this like shopping mentality, because we have so many options, we're going shopping. So we're like looking at our pieces of paper here, and we're like, okay, so you have this, this, and this. Let's just say everything about ourselves to see if we're a match, and let's get through this quickly, because if you're not, I got a phone right here with a bunch of other women or a bunch of other men that might be suitable. And that is, I think, one of the problems, that paradox of choice that we have in terms of dating.
Probably. But I am a maximizer, as we're talking about the paradox of choice. But I think you have to take your time in making those decisions and letting things evolve.
Completely agree.
You know, since I got a room full of handsome, successful men here.
High T
men. I want to know what the ladies should be doing. What are your pet peeves about the way modern women are behaving? What would you like to see women do differently in dating from the male point of view?
All right. This is perfect timing because this is something I've been dealing with lately. So I'm going to start a new company that's going to teach women how to properly reject a man. Mm. Because I don't think they know what they're doing. Now, it's not their fault. They get hit on a lot. They get approached a lot, all those things. And it's tough to reject someone because we don't want to hurt somebody, right? It's not in our DNA to hurt other people. So we shy away from that and we don't reject people properly. Guys don't have this issue because they're not getting approached so much. So I think women should learn how to properly reject a guy by being very honest and very upfront. I've actually coached many of my female friends through the process of rejecting a guy, and it's always gone very well. It's very difficult for her to do it, but at the end of the day, the guy always maybe text messages back or says back, thank you for being honest, and I really appreciate it. Instead of a guy being like, oh, she ghosted me, and then starting to think really bad things about women, she's a B and whatever and all that stuff. But I really think that if a woman properly says to a guy, I'm not interested, it makes the guy actually feel better than worse.
I agree with you. Although having been in that situation, and this is also, that is what I coach women and men. I had to get my co-host Ray to do that some more. But you did it. Sending the messages. Remember we talked about whether you should send the message and say, like, I'm not interested in you after you have sex with them?
What? Hold on. My breakup game is strong.
I want to hear this. I need some advice with this.
No, well, we're not. It's just a rabbit hole.
We're clear, Tripp, I really like you. It's not going to work out, though. I just don't feel that romantic spark. And I wish you well, though. You're awesome.
But
here's
the thing different. I think when guys say that to a woman hears it and she's like, okay, done. But a lot of times in the past when I did that to guys, they think that that's a game or that's the green light for them to accelerate and push further.
Then I think a woman should just, at that point, after you've stated what's going on, you ignore. Then it's
block.
Okay. Yeah, block, ignore. You have no reason to ever talk to them again. And ignoring is the best way to really show someone that you're not interested. So. Yeah.
And then maybe you can resuscitate it.
I'm ignoring him right now.
Down the road. We have so much more dates and mates. We have your questions that have been posted on the TechSpert app. And I'm so excited because Tripp is going to stick around to help us answer them for you. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Dates and Mates.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. Yes, we have a high tea room of people here for you today. And Tripp of TrippAdvice.com so graciously agreed to stick around and answer your questions that have come in from the TechSpert app. Ray, you've pulled the best, the brightest, the most interesting questions of the week from the TechSpert app. And now it's time for Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
Damona, we have some really good nuggets today. Quick little aside, if you don't mind. We're working with my friends at SaveTheSyrianChildren.org. And obviously we know what's happening.
Are you doing this to me right now?
Quick little plug. Please go work with them. Go donate. SaveTheSyrianChildren.org. Friends of ours.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that thing where people tag and say, like, you have to donate $2 for every person that, like...
No.
I'll do it. Yeah,
we're working
sure.
with them. We're doing some TechSpert stuff with them. It's an awesome cause. Syria is going through some tough times. And
yeah, of course.
Please go check them out. But anyways,
Thank you for the message.
More lighthearted stuff. We got some nugs and trips in town, so let's dive in. Number one, from a guy, how apropos... He's 19. He says, okay, so I usually don't take this to the internet, but this lady that I have feelings for and care about is confusing me. We've been talking on and off for a while, and she says she likes me and has feelings for me, but hardly gives me any time or attention. I always try to make plans, but she is busy a lot. I'm starting to feel silly for texting her and putting in the effort because she's hardly putting any in back. Help me out. Trip.
Sounds like a woman who doesn't know how to reject a man.
Yeah, she needs your...
That's what it sounds like.
Your new company.
Very simple. I always say this. Actions speak louder than words. So words, in this case, are meaningless. She's saying that she likes him or wants to meet up with him. If you can't get a girl in front of you in person on a date, then she's not interested. So I would say to her, I'd basically give her, I like the ultimatum. I'd say, listen, it sounds like you're interested, but you're never able to meet up. So at this point, I think I'm just going to stop trying. But if you are interested, then let's hang out. If not, no worries. That's it.
That's sort of like your reverse rejection trick, right? Like,
what do you mean?
You know, when you're like, I can't do this. So I'm not
going to
ask
quit.
You. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that you're not comfortable with. And clearly, if you're not calling me, you're not comfortable with this relationship. This is something that I feel like guys sometimes do. Actually, women do this too. They hold on to the idea of someone. So maybe they had a connection at one point in time and she thinks she's been really clear with leaving him on the slow drip and letting him know. The less we see each other, the less this relationship is happening. But he's still holding on to the memory of what happened in the beginning and thinking of that instead of the facts that are right in front of him. You feel silly texting her because you are silly for texting her. She doesn't want you. And unfortunately, this is just going to keep depleting you and making you make you feel worse about yourself. And that's going to hurt your ability to be confident in approaching the next girl and in diving into the next relationship. Forget this one.
Well, you guys had such eloquent and kind responses. I'm going to sound like the conniving
kind
a-hole.
After calling him silly. I'm sorry. But
no, I think it's true.
Love.
He's kind of silly and straightforward. I would say if he's insistent that she might be the one, which she probably isn't because he's 19, but if he is, then fight fire with fire. Maybe turn on read receipts, and the next time she responds to you, just give her a spoonful of the read receipt and see how she likes getting the old cold shoulder.
But she doesn't care. Like, if she cared about the read receipts, wouldn't she respond?
You'd be surprised. But
I think I got to start turning those on.
I'm a big believer. And I think it's
and
a good communication tool. Well, there's that too, actually. I'm not going to lie. I'm not mad at that part. All right, moving along. This one's got some layers to it. This is from a young fellow. He's 27, from California. He says, Damona, why is it that females seem to react positively to males who mistreat them? I've noticed this happens a lot with some of my friends, and I don't think it's a rare occurrence. Furthermore, why don't males react the same positive way when females mistreat them?
First of all, that is an untrue statement. I think everybody loves a little bit of the chase. And I think whenever we're met with a challenge, male or female, that makes the person a little bit more attractive because we all want what we can't have. And so I don't believe that it's true that males don't react the same way when females mistreat them. And I think this is a little bit part of the dance. I mean, I don't know exactly the situation that he's dealing with, but I think... It's that that desire to have that, the chemistry and the chase and the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows that, that make us even do this whole romantic dance.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there, in some aspects, there's the chase, which is why the girl becomes more attracted, right? But also, this is kind of reminding me of that saying, like, why do girls date? Can I swear on the show? Can I swear?
Go ahead.
Okay. Why do girls date assholes, right? Like, I hear that question all the time.
And there's a whole book, Why Do Men Love Bitches?
Right.
Right?
So, well, that I don't understand. But I can explain the why women like assholes. Because there are a lot of alpha male traits in a guy who is a jerk, right? He's doing whatever he wants. He's, you know, like I was saying before, that definition, like going after whatever you want, doing whatever you want. He has a lot of confidence. And also there's this fantasy of, and Damona, maybe you can help out with this. There's this fantasy about a woman being able to tame the bad boy, right? So it's like, it's a combination of all these different things.
We're moms. We're fixers. We see something broken and we want to put it back together. And so, I mean, I did it too. I dated all the bad boys and it's like, oh, but he's broken. And that little baby bird needs me to patch up his wing and then he can fly again. And it's just a road to nowhere. It's to miserableness.
Yeah. And then there's also daddy issues. That's a whole other thing, you know. But women who go after men who are mistreating them because their father mistreated them, and so that's what they're comfortable with, and that's exactly.
Yeah.
That's really deep stuff.
I agree. I mean, I think this is another cue for a future he said, she said, because I disagree. I think men don't respond to being mistreated quite like women do. And I'm a little bit vexed as to why. I think maybe it has something to do with, at a genetic and evolutionary level, the men that do mistreat other women tend to be a little bit more sexually prolific and thus better at procreating. And that women that are ruder or bitchier or whatever, they tend to be, they have better defense. And we men genetically don't typically want the sexually prolific woman because there's a likelihood that you get cuckolded. But that's a whole different conversation.
If I'm wrong about it, why would there be a best-selling book on the topic? I mean, I'm not wrong about it. There are men that respond. It's the chase again.
What's the answer in the book? Why do men love bitches?
I don't know. I haven't read it. Okay. I'll read it and I'll
report
back.
I'm curious to know because I don't like that, so I don't know.
I'm just being honest. I haven't read it, but I know that it's a best-selling book.
All right. Finally, we got a question from a lady. She's 18 and she says, sometimes I really miss my ex and I know it's wrong because I have a boyfriend and I really love my boyfriend. Seriously, I'd do anything for him, but I still want to know what's going on in my ex's life. And I kind of get mad whenever he gets a boyfriend trip. What does that mean?
When he gets a boyfriend?
I'm sorry. She actually did explain that. A girlfriend.
Oh, okay. I was
that was a typo.
Minute.
This is a problem with texting.
Gay. He's not gay.
People in the in the throes of passion sometimes type the wrong thing.
Well, I mean, bottom line, she's not over her ex, right? It sounds like she probably dated someone a little too soon after she got out of a serious relationship. But, you know, it's tough because I think it takes many years to really get over an ex, depending on the situation. If you got broken up with or something that you wanted and now you can't have. You know, I mean, I know girls I dated from years ago, and I didn't even really like them that much. But then, like, I see who they're dating on Facebook, it pops up, and there's a little, like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel a little like, like, screw that guy.
It's
you know what I mean? Like, that just kind of happens. But if I were her, if I were to give advice in the situation, I would say you're in a relationship, and so you need to cut out as much as you can in terms of seeing him on social media or any other thing that's going to make you somewhat connected to him if, you know, she sees him in certain places, because she's not fully over him. And I believe the best way to get fully over someone is to distance yourself in every way possible.
You know, I think, though, some of it is just curiosity. I mean, I do agree with you in this particular situation, but I do think that sometimes it's the curiosity of what's going on in your ex's life that makes you, you know, just want to peek in. And, like, you know, I have an ex that obviously I'm totally over. I've been with my husband for 14 years, but he just finally got married this year. And there was a little bit of me, because he wasn't really able to invest in the relationship with me, that's like, well, like, what makes her so great? Well, why is he with her? Now, which I know it's all his stuff and it's all timing, but still there's like a little bit of curiosity of like, oh, well, oh, now, like, now he's able to get married.
Yeah, I think that's normal. I think the curiosity is normal, but it sounds like you are definitely over that guy, right?
Yeah.
You have very much
two children over that guy.
Yeah, you're two children and a lovely marriage over this lady who, or a girl who, you know, just probably got broken up with. I'm sure this is a very, you know, recent relationship. So curiosity is normal, but curiosity killed the cat. So I would not touch that.
Well, if people are curious about what you're doing over on YouTube, I encourage them to check out Trip Advice on YouTube and check out your website, tripadvice.com, and your podcast, How to Talk to Girls. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
I love you're welcome anytime, and I love talking about how to be a modern alpha male with you and my co-host, Ray Christian. You can find Ray on the gram, RayChristian_LA. I'm on Twitter and the gram, at Damona Hoffman. And by the way, we want to know, what segments do you love? Why not leave us a review on iTunes and tell us what you love about Dates and Mates? We'll be here next week and every week after that. And until then, happy dating.